Praise God. Great to worship the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we're here in your presence, Lord. We've already delighted in you, Lord, and we know, Lord, that you delight in us, Lord, as your children, as we respond to you, Lord, and worship with open hearts, Lord. And Father, as we open your word this morning, we just pray that you just speak to us, Lord. And Lord, when we go into the heart to heart, Lord, I pray already that you're already stirring people upon our hearts, Lord, that we're going to list down, Lord, people that already that you want us to touch for your kingdom. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to you. Lord, as we open the word, Lord, just speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we've got a theme this year, faithful, and I trust that you've all been faithfully praying as a part of the 20 days of prayer and fasting and setting yourself aside for that. Don't forget those prayer opportunities to gather together, wonderful opportunities to do that. So, encourage you, Friday nights and 11 o'clock Wednesdays, for those who can't come on the Friday night, spend some time praying. And Digger's Rest at 4 o'clock today, we have a 1 hour prayer also at Digger's Rest. So I encourage you to make the most of those opportunities to pray. Now remember, there is a scripture for each day, and so you read the scripture and in your own prayer time, and there's a focus for each day over the 20 days. So if you didn't get one of those, you can grab one of those at the front there. But part of our heart of the church is a growth church, is that everyone will be everything that God has made them to be. And if you think about it, we've already talked about how we've defined that. We've looked at it being, well, two things. We've looked at it being both being and doing. We've looked at being mature, but also to the doing part of things, which is fulfilling our purpose in God. And when we talk about fulfilling our purpose and actually doing that, sometimes we can get a little bit mixed up when we talk about being successful. And I just want to talk a little bit for the moment about the difference between being about success. Now, success in itself is not a bad thing, because success can literally mean just doing what you're supposed to have done, and you were successful in doing that. You retained the result that you were trying to get. But when we talk about success and being successful, there is actually the worldly connotation that comes on, and we can actually grab a hold of that worldly definition, and it can subtly come into our own heart, into our own life, into our own thinking, and that we can end up falling for the trap of being successful as the world defines success. Now, there's some definitions of success in your sermon summary. You've got one written there. It means the accomplishment of an aim or purpose, the attainment of popularity or profit, which is really what the world sees as success, the attainment of popularity or profit, a person or things that achieves desired aims, which is okay, or obtains prosperity. And so success in the worldly sense is really all about getting some things and getting stuff. And really the focus about being successful is really about yourself. It's all focused on yourself. It's about worldly success is all inwardly. It's all about yourself. It's about attainment. And so we can look and say someone is a successful businessman. And when we say someone is a successful businessman, what do people normally mean? Well, they've got the really nice car, they've got a massive house, and they maybe got boat, and they've got all this stuff, and they've got earning lots of money, and we define success like that. And we've got to be very careful as Christians that the worldly definition of success doesn't creep into our own heart. Even as we talk about being grow church, wanting to grow, and we're growing in the things of God, and we can say, well, we're successful as we're growing. But remember, success is far more than just the worldly definition of what success is. And we want to not be successful in the worldly sense. We want to be successful in the godly sense, in the way that God would define success. And so there is a difference with success, but really what we don't really want to be successful. We do, yeah, we want to achieve what God has called us to do. We want to be everything that God made us to be. And yes, we do want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So in that sense, yes, but not the worldly way of success, which is all about ourselves. It's all about attainment. It's all about getting a good reputation. It's all about getting a whole lot of good stuff. Rather than being successful, we want to be people that are influencers. We want to be people of influence. And the difference between success and influence is that influence is about other people. It's about adding to the lives of others. It's about imparting something of value into them. It's about lifting them up. It's about encouraging them. It's about standing alongside them. It's a focus on other people. It's an outward focus. And so success, as the world says, is about myself, about my own attainment, my own whatever I get whatever I achieve. But if you really want to be a godly person, we don't want the worldly success. We want to be godly influences that live our lives that we might impart into other people. And so success is about gaining, but influence is about creating change in people's lives. It's about moving them closer to the things of God. It's about imparting the life of the Spirit. It's imparting the things of God into people's hearts and his lives, and so into their life. And really, that's what we want to be. We want to be influencers. Again, those definitions, it's there in your summary. I won't need to read it to you. And so it's, we live our Christian life not as people that live our lives to attain, to achieve, to gain, or to get, but rather we live our lives for the benefit of other people. And that is what a Christian life is about. It's not about us, not about you. It's about living and expending our lives for others. You think about the Apostle Paul, who said, I poured out my life like a drink offering. He lived his life for the benefit of others. Even when he was in the end of getting towards the end of his days, he was sort of torn. He's saying, look, I really want to go home to be with the Lord, because to die is gain. It's wonderful. But also, but he's torn and saying, no, but if I live, then I can actually live for the benefit of others. I can actually impart for others. And so there's a tension there, but he lived his life for others. And of course, Jesus himself in Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus actually modeled that. He came not for himself. He came just for us. He died on the cross, not for his own benefit. He died on the cross for our benefit. He lived his life. He came purely for us, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. And really, that's the model of life. If we're going to be everything that God wants it to be, it's not about getting a whole lot of stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting stuff, because in the process of living your life, yes, and if you're working hard, and yep, there's a reward for that. Yeah, if you put the hard work in, yes, you'll get blessings and things. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not our focus. That's not our motivation. And that's not the reason why we live. If God blesses you with some of those things, fantastic. But that's never the measure of success. Because some of the most miserable people on the face of the planet are the people that have the most stuff. You think of, you know, Steve Jobs, who died several years ago, the founder of Apple. You know, he died a very wealthy, sad man. And he was quite not a nice person from the people that were around him, from what they've said about him. He had everything, but really had nothing but a lot of bitterness and stuff in his heart. And so we want to be people that don't just getting stuff for stuff's sake. If God blesses us, then we're going to use that to help influence others. We're going to help use that to be a blessing to others. And so that's our heart and focus. We want to be everything God made us to be, but we don't want to fall into the trap of worldly success, which is so easy to do. And people can expend themselves pursuing worldly success. And as Jesus says, well, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he forgoes his life, he loses his life? And so as believers who are going to be everything that God has called us to be, we're living our life for the benefit of others. And so not success, as the world says, but yes, definitely influence. We want to live our lives for influence. God has created you to be an influencer. And influencer, you might say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, you're an influencer. Don't have to be a positional leader to have influence. You're influencing because God has placed you into the lives of the people that you are in connection with in order that you might impart something to them. You might influence, you might add value to their life. You might influence them and bring them even closer to the things of God. And so influence is something that we want to have. And the other thing that really to go hand in hand with influence is this area of obedience. That we will be people of obedience and walking in obedience in our lives. Because again, if you really want to have influence, you can never really have influence unless you're walking in obedience. Because if you don't walking in obedience, and by obedience I mean, and I've written that down, I've defined that as, what have I put here? A free and joyful response to loving God and following his ways and his word. And so it's a free and joyful thing. It's not a, oh no, here's the thing, the world, these rules. No, it's a heartfelt thing. It's a free surrendering and following God's word, following his ways, what the Spirit is leading us in, rooted in the word of God, established in the word of God, living our lives according to God's word. And obedience is really important, because if you really want to be a person of influence, if you really want to make a difference, and look, everyone wants to make a difference. The only way to make a difference is to be an influencer. You get a whole lot of stuff and you make no difference. But if you're an influencer, you're adding to other people's lives. To make a difference, then you're going to have a foundation below that of obedience, to be someone that is obedient to the things of God. Because what will happen is you may say a whole lot of good stuff and look really good on the outside, but if we're not obedient within our heart and if we're not walking in the ways of God, then our actual life will even disqualify what we say. And that's the sad thing, you know. You see people that are out there and they might be preaching the gospel on the streets and whatever else, and then, but their own lifestyle actually betrays everything they say. In the workplace, you know, people there, they're saying, you know, they've got, you know, I'm a Christian t-shirt on or whatever, and everyone knows I'm a Christian, but then they see them backstabbing the boss behind there, or they're gossiping about ones, and then they think, and then they wonder, why are these people, oh, they're all hard-hearted, they don't get saved, why aren't these people coming to Jesus? Well, maybe because your own life is in a contradiction to what you're saying. Maybe when they look at you, they don't see something of God in there. They say, well, you're just like everyone else. And yet you're talking to me about changing and about becoming like you. Well, you're no different to me. And so we want to be careful that we are people that our lifestyle doesn't disqualify our words. And so obedience is really important. And 1 Peter 2:12, it says this to us: live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, and you can get a hard time. Not everybody, being a Christian, it's not always easy in the workplace or at school or wherever, uni, whatever. But live such good lives among them that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And so they see the quality of our lives. They see the quality of your life. It's so important if we really want to be everything that God wants us to be, and therefore we want to be an influencer that actually adds life, adds value, brings something of value to other people's lives, then have a platform of walking in obedience to the things of God. Allow the Word of God to be working in our lives. Read the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to work within us. Let it change us, conform us, mold us, shape us to the image of Christ. And so it's important that obedience is a part of our lifestyle. We want to be everything God has called us to be as faithful believers. Then we want to be an influencer. To be an influencer, don't miss out on obedience. You have to walk in obedience joyfully, freely, in the life that we have in Jesus Christ. And so it's important that you won't have any credibility of your life if your lifestyle totally betrays everything that you try to represent. We have to be genuine, we have to be authentic, we have to be real, we don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all learning. But if you're genuine and you're real with people, then we're going to be able to be an influencer. You're going to be able to actually put something of value in people's lives. And if I really do want to make a difference in this life, if I really do want to leave an indelible mark, something that's going to last, that so when you've lived your life, your life has been more than the sum of stuff. Because some people live the whole life and then what was their life about? The life's about all the stuff. If we want to live a life that's more than stuff, but really the legacy of our life is what we've sown and imparted into the lives of others. But more than that, what we've actually done, something that's of enduring value, something that lasts forever, something that is of eternal value. And obviously the only thing that is of eternal value are the things of God. And the best thing that you can do, the best way of influencing anyone upon the face of this planet, is that you may influence someone towards accepting Jesus Christ, that you may be a person that is a part of that journey. You might not be the one that is at the end of the journey where they actually receive Christ, but you're a part of that journey of influencing them to come into the kingdom of God. Because that is the most important thing you can ever do. That is the greatest influence that you'll ever have on this earth, is to be part of that process, part of that journey of someone coming into the kingdom of God. And I tell you what a wonderful thing it is, rather than, because when you get to heaven, There's no stuff there. There's none all the stuff you have. There's nothing up there. I mean, the streets of gold, it's all new stuff that you may get. But all the stuff you've accumulated here, it's not going to be there. All your accomplishments, our trophies, all of the wonderful things we've achieved. But what will be there, is all the people that you've saved, that you've been a part of. Now, you might not have prayed the sinner prayer with them, but you might have been the one who invited them to church. You might have been the one who took them along to Grow Group or took them along to the missions dinner. And, you know, they're an unbeliever, but they just touched their hand. There's something about this. There's something about the heart of these people. They're not just nice, generous people. There's something deeper. And they'll be in heaven because of you, and they'll run up to you and say, "Thank you so much for telling me. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony with me. Because of what you said, because of what you did, I'm here." What a wonderful thing that is. What incredible influence that we can have, that we can move people closer to the things of God. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ, to see them come into his eternal kingdom. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful calling that you have on your life. And I've titled this message, "Being Faithful to the Call." What is the highest call that any of us have? The highest call that we have is to, yes, number one, is to love God and to worship God and to be his children and to love him. But in terms of, that's a responsive thing. We've done that because of what he did on the cross. Nothing we've done. It's because he died on the cross, because he took our sin on our place. He shed his blood to wash our sin away, to give us a new life, to give us a hope and a future and eternal life. But we love God. But the other thing, the highest thing that we can do, is to bring people into the kingdom of God. People that were lost and as hopeless as we were. And just imagine if the person that the people in along your journey, whatever it is, whether it was your mother was faithful praying for you or whatever it was, if that person never did that, if the person never spoke to you, they never invited you, or they never told you about Jesus, just think about that now. Well, none of you would be here for a start. Many of you probably wouldn't be here on this earth. It's because somebody actually did that, somebody actually influenced. And when you get to heaven, you can thank them. Or you can thank them now if they're still alive. Good idea to do that, if someone's been a part of your journey. But what a wonderful thing it is, a calling that you have to be an influencer, to see people come into the kingdom of God. There's no greater thing, no greater thing. And there's no greater thrill in life than the joy of seeing someone come to Jesus Christ. It is the best thing. It is the best thing. It's a wonderful feeling to think, "Oh, Lord, I was a part of that. Thank you, Lord." Now, whether you're at the end of the journey or whether you're at the beginning of it, but you're a part of that process. And we want to be faithful. We're going to be faithful this year. We want to be faithful to the call to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And so how do I be an influencer? Well, there's a number of things here. One is I've got here is through prayer. Don't ever underestimate the influence that you have when you pray. When you get down on your knees, or whether you're in your car or whether you're washing the dishes, as long as you're focused on the Lord and not on getting these dishes done, as long as your focus is still there, whenever we pray, I can tell you what, you just send shockwaves through the heavenly realms. When you begin to pray, there's like a shaking that begins to happen. There's a stirring that begins to happen. And if you want to read Revelations, it says like our prayers is like a kept up like in a censer and hurled down to the earth. It comes as thunder and as lightning, the prayers of the saints. There's something very powerful when you begin to pray. Something begins to happen when you pray. And never underestimate it. Don't neglect that. Praying is so very important. If you want to see your friends come to Christ, you pray for them. You pray for them. Those that are just in so much bondage, you're in so much darkness, then the light can actually begin to shine and come through and begin to break through that. A hard heart can begin to soften when we begin to pray. There's something about praying. Never underestimate the power of prayer. The devil doesn't want you to pray. He's very happy when you don't pray. He'll keep you as busy and as distracted as whatever he can. He doesn't want you to pray because he is terrified the moment you start to pray. Terror enters his heart. Demons begin running in all directions. They're terrified when you start to pray because something happens. It unleashes the power of God to work in a situation. And if we want to be an influencer to see people come into the kingdom of God, man, then we need to be a praying people. 20 days of prayer and fasting is not just a little bit of paper, it's a life, but it's something we're doing to pray. And when you begin to pray, you know, it's like a massive bomber comes off. The enemy's plans and enemy's camp with the enemy's plans is like a giant big bomber comes off, and you just drop a whole lot of bombs on the enemy when you're praying. And the enemy is confounded by that. He's confused by that. All the noise of the shelling and the explosions, and the enemy's all running for cover when you pray. But there's something that when we pray together, even far more dramatic than that. When the people of God actually stand and pray together, it's more than just like a bombing run. It's like a sustained bombardment that just goes on and on for days, like they did in World War I. They would just shell and shell for 4, 5, 6 hours straight, blasting continuously. When we stand together, man, it is so powerful that we wreak havoc on the work of the enemy. And so don't neglect to pray. If you want to be an influencer, prayer is so important. Some people, as they get a little bit older and maybe not so mobile and maybe not even able to come to church or go to things, do things, as they've got a little bit older, they can pray. And a prayer of a 100-year-old is just as impressive and as powerful as the prayer of a little 2-year-old. Remember, 2-year-olds can pray powerful prayers too. We are very powerful. So you want to be an influencer, be a prayer. And that's what God has called us to do. The other thing that we can do is acts of kindness are really important. Just be nice. A lot of people are really amazed when you're nice to them. They're amazed. Even if you say hello to them walking past the street, hi. You know, like acts of kindness are really important. And if you want to move people along, be an influencer, just be nice to people. Strangers. Show hospitality to strangers, as Scripture tells us. But acts of kindness are really helpful. You on the checkout and the person's there and the old lady can't find the money in the purse and then she's trying to work out, you've got it, just said, it's all right, I'll pay for it. No worries. Just a little simple act of kindness doesn't cost you a lot. Just a smile or a hello, anything like that. It actually can really help influence people. And they think, wow, that's unusual. Because not a lot of people aren't nice. A lot of people are so busy and so, just get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. You do something. People actually, wow. It actually makes a difference. Simple thing to be an influence. Be a prayer. Do acts of kindness. And be a faithful friend. Just remember that God shows you to be the friend of the people you're friends with, or the people that you're at school with, or your people that are in your family. Man, you can't choose your family, but I tell you what, God shows you and put you in that family. And some of them you might think, Lord, what have I done to deserve all this? Well, God chose you because he thought that you were the best one to reach them, to love them, to show them the unconditional love. When they give you the hard time, when they're, whatever they're saying and doing, and they, you know, you say, Lord, send someone. He goes, no, I actually planned this from the beginning. It's your brother, it's your mother, it's your uncle, it's you, for a reason. I planned it that way. And so God has put us there. And so we can have the courage to begin to talk to them and pray. But pray first. Blow up all the works of the enemy first. Go and pray it up. Let the prayer prepare the way. And be nice. Acts of kindness. Even when they say some other stuff, don't react back like the world reacts back to them. Just turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. You might end up with a lot of bruises on your cheek. But just keep turning the other cheek. And then slowly that'll get to them. That'll get to them. And actually, some people, it infuriates them. They want you to react. They want you to fight back with them. You don't. You just be loving, kind, and consistent to them. And in the end of fight, they just give up fighting because there's no fight. And so acts of kindness, being nice, but knowing that God has placed us in a family. Invite people along. If you know people, invite them along to something. There's plenty of opportunities to invite them along and say, be a faithful friend. We got up there, faithful friend. Well, a faithful friend just doesn't hang out with them and have a good time with them. That's nice, and worldly friends do that as well. A faithful friend actually cares enough about them, loves them enough, and says, hang on, I don't just want to enjoy your company now. I want to enjoy it with an eternity with you. And so I'm going to look for an opportunity. I'm going to invite you, and I'm going to pray and maybe share my faith. So we can do that. We can be an influencer by just simply inviting someone, asking someone. You might be surprised. Some of the people that you've known for many years, you think, oh, no, they're not really into church. They're not really into... You might ask them and invite them and they will shock you because you've prayed. You've prayed and you've been consistently within your behaviour and your heart to them and, yeah, all right, I'll go. Oh, okay. You thought they were going to laugh at you. No. They'll want to come. Fantastic. Invite them along. Share your testimony. Never underestimate the importance of your own story. You might think, look, I don't know enough. Do you know your own testimony? Do you know how you became a Christian? Do you know what your life was like before you were a Christian? Do you know how you gave your heart to the Lord? Why you gave your heart to the Lord? Do you know what your life is like since then? Can you see the difference? Then you've got a story. You've got a testimony. Tell them your testimony. Tell them that. Tell them, don't just on, you know, Monday morning at work, or what'd you do for the weekend? Oh, not much. Well, tell them, I actually went to church. Oh, you went to church. Why do you go to church? Well, it was like this, actually. And off you go. So use those opportunities that you have. You've got a testimony. You've got something that's real. People can't argue that. They can argue everything else. They can't argue your own testimony. No one can argue that. They can't debate it. This is my experience. That's it. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It's your life. And there's no arguments. You might think, oh, what if they talk about this or that? They don't have to have a big theological argument with them, and you may not feel equipped to do that. Fine, don't. No arguments. You're just telling them a story about the difference that Jesus Christ makes in a heart and a life. And you'll be amazed at how responsive people can be to that. And the other is simply share the good news with people. An influencer, there does come a time, there does come a point where you do have to actually tell someone. And I told the story again just a few weeks ago, but I'll tell it again of my mother's friend and her friend, good friends. I think it was about 30 years. After 30 years, she finally got the courage to tell her friend about Jesus. After about 30 years. And so she tells her about Jesus, and surprise, surprise, she gives her life to Jesus Christ. But then she's very upset with the other friend because she's saying, hang on, you've been my friend for 30 years, and now you tell me. After 30 years, you knew all this stuff, and you hid it from me, you didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me this 30 years ago? And got quite upset and didn't talk to her for a little while. Now, she generally became a Christian, and she learned about forgiveness and those things, and so she forgave, and the relationship was restored, and they're now really good friends again. But is there anyone in your life like that? Is there? Maybe there is. Maybe it's the time to say, I've got to do it. I want to risk it. Look, if they're really your friend, they're not going to run it. You're a Christian. I'm never talking to you again. What kind of friend was that anyway? If they're really your friend, they're interested in you and in your life and in your heart. And so we can have the courage to do that. We want to be an influencer. How do I position myself to be an influencer? Well, number one, as I've already said, is to be praying. If you want to be an influencer, to really make a difference as part of being everything God has made you to be that prayer. And Jesus himself, he prayed for the lost. Jesus prayed for the lost. Jesus prayed for the lost. John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, so not just for the disciples. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. So Jesus was praying for the lost. Actually, Jesus prayed for you. Do you know that? Jesus actually prayed for you that you would give your heart to him. Did you ever think of that before? Jesus prayed for you. He said, I'm not just praying for these guys, for them alone, in other words, the disciples. I pray for those who will believe in me through their messages. Because of the message that the disciples were spreading across the face of the earth, that we gave our heart to Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed for you. And if Jesus prayed for you, what a wonderful thing. He prayed for your friend, but why don't you pray for your friend as well? Be a prayer. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Be a prayer. The other thing is be prepared. Always be prepared. Be ready. Always be ready to share the things of God. Always be prepared. You know, the Boy Scouts, I think the Boy Scouts just went bankrupt. I think I read that the other day in America. Always be prepared was their motto, wasn't it? Be prepared. Well, obviously, they weren't all that prepared because I think they just filed for bankruptcy. But we've got to be prepared if we really want to be an influencer. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready ready. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, always, not just on the good days, but also on your bad days, not just when you feel like it, not just when you've got time, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That's really important. So you're always ready. You're prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready. With gentleness and respect. And so you're ready. You know what the gospel is. You know that sin separates God from man. You know that we cannot get to God through our own devices, for our own being a good person, our own religious activity, whatever it is, that we are separated by sin. The only thing that can bridge the gap between us and God is the cross of Jesus Christ. And as we surrender our life to Christ, as we confess our sin to him and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, allowing the blood of the cross that he shed on the cross to wash away our sin, then we can come into fellowship with God, into relationship with God, and then have the promise of eternal life. And so you know the gospel, and so make sure you know that and know your testimony. Be ready. Be ready to share that with someone that God has even placed within your life. Always be prepared, and to do it with gentleness and respect. That's really important. You're never interested in winning any arguments. We're not about winning arguments. We want to win people to Jesus. You can win the argument and lose them. You don't want to lose them. You want to win them to Jesus Christ. The other thing is to be prompted. So you're praying. Must be praying. You're prepared. I'm ready. I'm just ready. I'm ready. But I'm also going to be prompted. It says in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now someone might say, well, I'm praying for my friends and I'm ready, and now I'm just waiting for that opportunity. And you might just be waiting for that opportunity for the next 50 years. Because part of it is we've got to have our little radar out. We need to be listening to the voice of the Spirit. You know, when those metal detectors, people go down, some people go down the beach or go down there, they get their metal detectors and they go okay, there's something here. Well, we really need to be like that, because the Holy Spirit will be stirring. And when we're walking around and when we're talking to people, it's like, she's open to the gospel. The Holy Spirit has told me, and then bang, we can talk to that person. So you've got to be prompted. You've got to be like that. Don't just be sitting back and saying, well, when I see the skywriting says, speak to John, then I'll actually do something. And not going to happen that way. You just have to be, yep, I'm prayed and I'm prepared. But I'm waiting for that prompting when I'm talking, you know, just the Lord, you're ready, we're geared up. And so we're waiting to be prompted by the Spirit of God. And so, but we can get caught up, and all of us do it, every one of us. We get so focused on what we're doing that sometimes we can have that dial turned, the volume down really low, because we're so focused, we're so busy. We're all busy. Hands up if you're busy. Some of you are too busy to put your hands up. I understand. We're all very, very busy. And so because we're busy, we can have that dial just down really low. But let's be ones. No, I'm going to turn that dial up. I'm going to have that dial up on maximum. So, yep, that person, I'm ready to share the things of God. So I'm praying, I'm prepared, and I'm prompted, led of the Spirit of God. And the other thing is, I said, yeah, just be proactive. Don't just be sitting around waiting for it. Oh, I'm just waiting, brother, for the good opportunity. How long have you been waiting? Oh, 25 years, but I'm sure it's coming soon. Jesus said in John 4:35, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Open your eyes. It's ready. They're ready. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months. In other words, it's not the right time now. That's the saying. And when it comes to sharing our faith with people, saying, oh, I'm just not quite the right time. I'm just waiting for the right opportunity. Jesus is saying, don't wait. Don't use that cliche of 4 months to the harvest. Now is the time for the harvest. It's ripe. And there's something in the Spirit of God. There is a ripeness out there even now. There's people that you're in relationship with now. The fruit's ready, just ready for someone just to, you know, when fruit's ripe. I learnt this, not that we have any fruit trees, but our neighbours very conveniently grow over our fence, so we sort of have, you know, de facto fruit trees. But I've learnt that as the, you know, like if it's not ripe, you're there and you just, you rip the silly thing off. But when it's ripe, you just touch it, ka-bing, it's just there, it's in your hand. And it's there. We're not going to have to wrestle and rip it off the tree. The fruit's ready in people's lives. You're just going to touch them life with the things of God, and the fruit's just going to fall into our hand. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to watch a little clip. I'll just pray. We're going to watch this little clip. Some hairy guy's going to tell us about heart to heart. And then in a moment, we're actually going to list these names of people, because we're going to be people that are prepared. We're praying, we're prepared, we're going to ready to be prompted by the Spirit, and we're going to be proactive about it. Because this is not just stuff we're talking about, this is the life that we are living. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, Lord, even in a moment, Lord, as we're going to be listing some names of people, Lord, that we're going to be praying for and reaching out for, Father. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you just stir each and every one of our hearts, Lord. Father, we want to be influencers. Lord, we're not trying to be successful. We're just trying to bring influence. We're trying to bring Christ. And Lord, we want to walk with that foundation of obedience in our lives, in our hearts, Lord. But Lord, we want to influence people for Jesus. Lord, we want to make a difference that really does count. And so, Father, we just submit our hearts to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that is here right now that has never given their life to Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will come this day and say, yeah, I want that. I want Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, to mean something for me. I want it to count. So, Father, I pray you stir their heart now too, in Jesus' name. Let's just watch this quick clip.
Heart to Heart is all about God's heart for the lost, a heart for the people we know, having heart-to-heart conversations on spiritual matters, or simply just having a heart to invite people. Heart to Heart is not an outreach program. You are the program.
At Grow Church, we really are serious about seeing people growing in God. We want to see people growing in God, and therefore we encourage people to come along to church and to learn about the things of God. Encourage people to grow in relationships, and that's why we have grow groups. We're in a small group, we can grow and learn together and thriving in the things of God. But of course, there's that area of outreach, and to help us in the area of the outreach is we have the Heart to Heart. Now, it's not a program as such, because really you are the program. What we like to do is we list down names of people that God has placed us strategically in relationship with. Maybe your family, your friends, workmates, neighbours, school friends, whoever it is that God has placed you in context with strategically. And what we want to do is to identify three of them that the Lord is impressing upon our hearts that we really want to reach to see to come into the kingdom of God this year, that they may know Jesus Christ. And so what we do is we list down two or three names. Now, you may have more than that, but let's just concentrate on two or three that we can intentionally and specifically focus on this year. And so we write down the two or three names and you write them in the top section. And then also the same things, you repeat those and write the same names in the bottom section. Top section is to keep that as a reminder for yourself. So you either put that in your Bible or put it on your fridge, somewhere that's going to remind you to keep these people before the Lord in prayer. And so you keep that copy. The bottom half of this, we tear this bottom section off and we give that to our grow group leader. Because what we do in grow groups every week is we take one of these and we prayerfully pray for each of the people that are on this list. And so it's great that not only are you praying, but you have those that are closely around you and connected with you in fellowship, praying also for the people that you love and want to come into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, it's one thing to list the people. The next thing, of course, we've got to do is to pray. And that prayer is really important, that we keep these people in prayer. But the other thing that's very important as well is the next stage is, of course, inviting these people along. And that could be to invite them to church, to a grow group, to a special event, or to do something to help them connect to the things of God. Even acts of love and kindness can go a long way in helping people come to know Jesus Christ. But there is a point too that we need to actually tell them about the gospel, tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for them, that he loves them, that he forgives their sin, and he wants to be a part of their life. And so we encourage everyone to be a part of the Heart to Heart. Three simple steps. We list them down, we pray for them, and then we invite them or share a faith with them. So we encourage everyone to be a part of the Heart to Heart.
Okay.
Okay. So hopefully you got one of these when you came in. We need one of these for everyone, each individual person. So if you didn't get one of these when you came in, could you like to put your hand up? So everyone that's sitting here now needs to have one of these. So if you haven't got one, just put your hand up. If you haven't got a pen, there'd be a lady next to you who has 20 pens in her handbag, or else we do have some pens as well. So if you need a pen, put your hand up, and there's some pens there at the back. They'll bring those pens around for you. So if you want a pen, just put your hand up as well. Yep, if you need a pen. I know this is a really important thing that we're doing. When we're writing names here, this is not a set and forget exercise. Well, I've written down some names. That was nice. It was a good thing I did on a Sunday morning. And that was the end of it. It's not about that. As you write down these names, just make that commitment in your heart. I'm really going to pray for these people, and I'm going to honestly look for opportunities where I can see these people come into the kingdom of God. I'm going to look for an opportunity to invite them, or I'm going to share with them about the love of Jesus. So, all right, so just so you got that, let's just take a quiet moment, just in your own heart, prayerfully, quietly, just get those names of those three names. Don't put, you know, someone that you don't know, Dan Andrews or someone that you're in relationship with that you know and are connected with, that you're going to have the opportunity to share with family, friends, workmates, neighbours, school friends, whoever they are. Just keep it to three, all right? Look, you know, some of you might say, look, I could put down 10. The reality is you're not going to be able to concentrate on 10 people. You can probably pray for 10, but to inviting 10 and sharing with 10, just keep it with two or three. Keep it simple, you know, just two or three people. Now, remember, you write them in the top, and then you write them again. The same people you write down the bottom. So I've got three names at the top, and exactly the same three names are down the bottom as well. You can write your name on there as well. And where it says your name, you can put your name in there too. So you've got three names at the top. It might only be two names, it might only be one. It's better than 10 that you're not going to reach out to. So names at the top, same names repeated down the bottom. Okay. Once you've done that, all right, now the top part of that is the one that you keep. That's your reminder. The one down the bottom you're going to give to your grow group leader. So I suggest you give that to your grow group leader Tuesday night. If you think, I don't know who my grow group leader is, then come and see Pastor John and Pastor Patricia, and they will tell you who to give that to, who's your grow group leader. All right? So what we're going to do now is you can just tear it down the middle. So just very carefully just give it a tear down the middle. So you've got those bits there separated. And once you've done that, you can just fold that in half. And then just tear that bit, so you'll end up with those two sections. So you'll end up with those like that. The one that says keep this section, keep that section. The one that says give to your grow group leader, give to your grow group leader. Why are you giving it to your grow group leader? Because on Tuesday night, when and they do this every week at grow group, they will pull out one of these names. They will just have them there. They'll grab one out. And they will say, okay, this week we're paying for Ray, which is Chris's dad, his brother, and for Andrew and Tao. Okay, and then it gives you the opportunity to say, yeah, well, Andrew and Tao, who they are, how do we know them? And then we pray for them. So the whole group will be praying. So you're praying at home, but isn't it wonderful to have those that you have good connection with in your grow group praying with you as well for those people? All right, so has everyone done that? Separated them all? Okay, so give it to your grow group leader. You can give it to them now, not now, at the end of the service, or else you can give it to them Tuesday night at grow group. If you don't know who your grow group leader is, please see Pastor John and Pastor Patricia, and they will tell you who to give that to. Okay? Let's everyone stand up now. Let's hold these people up before the Lord. And all right, so let's hold these up. Let's just hold them up high before the Lord, those names. Let's just hold them up. Father, Lord, as we stand here now, and Lord, as we hold up these people's names on a bit of paper, Lord, they're just names listed, but Lord, they're not just names. They're not just names, Lord. These are people, Lord, that you love, that you died on the cross for, Lord, that you desperately want to have in your kingdom, Lord. Every one of these ones you love, Lord. You want them to come to a knowledge of the truth, Lord. You want to see them. And Lord, we've written these names down, Lord, because we desperately want to see them in your kingdom, Lord. We don't want to see them consigned to oblivion. But Lord, we want to see them, Lord, in relationship with you, Lord. We want to see them having eternal life in Jesus Christ, Lord. We don't want to see them in hell, in agony, Lord, but we want to see them in the joy and the peace of the presence of God. And so, Father, as we hold up these names, Lord, we undertake that we're going to pray for these people, Lord, and, Lord, that we will look for opportunities, Lord, to actively to invite them along to something, Father, Lord, and to share our faith, Father, with them, because we want them to know Jesus. And so, Lord, we know that we can't save anyone, Lord, that you're the Savior. And Holy Spirit, you're the one that brings conviction. But, Lord, as we stand and work together in partnership with you, Lord, we want to see these people come to know you, Lord. So, Lord, we put them before you. Lord, we know that already that you love them. We know already you died for them, Lord. And it's our prayer this day and every day, Lord, as we bring them before you, Lord, that they will come to know you, Lord. We want to see them knowing Jesus. We want to see them in your kingdom, Lord. We want to see them saved and set free, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray for them, Lord. And I pray for each of us as we're holding these up, Lord. Lord, that we won't make excuses, Lord, and that we won't allow fear of rejection or whatever other excuse that we want to make, Lord, that we would just have that be ready, Lord, that we'll be tuned, Lord, ready to speak your word, Lord, to be prepared to speak our story, our testimony, Lord, to bring your love with an act of kindness, Lord, that we'll be ready, Lord, that we will see these people come into your kingdom, Lord. So this day, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will work heart to heart, Lord, our heart with yours, Lord, but our heart, Lord, with these people, that they might join their hearts with you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to this now. Commit these people to you, Lord. Let them be saved, Lord. Let them come to know you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can stay standing. We're going to close with a song in just a moment. But please remember, this is not just something you did on a Sunday. All right, these people are worth more than just you writing them down. These people are worth Jesus dying for, and so they're worth our prayer. They're worth our courage at reaching out to them. Bless you.